significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood on this Saturday morning as the sun rises. Homecoming for Emporia State and a playoff win for Emporia High on the gridiron last night as we are in the fall part of the season. Hard to believe October's almost over with.
Well, by the sound of the score last night, I thought we were in the winter part of the season.
No kidding. Emporia High, a winner over Highland Park last night as they put up some points on the scoreboard, 83-64, the final score last night. And as I mentioned,
great three-point shooting.
Yeah. I made the comment before we came on, Coach Baldwin would love to have that score.
Exactly, no doubt.
Love to have that score later on this season if they got a chance to play Highland Park. But Dylan, last night, first possession, Emporia High wastes little time getting on the scoreboard. Unfortunately, they give a touchdown up on the ensuing kickoff. That was kind of a unique situation in its own right. But after that, Emporia High just kind of flexed their muscles and took control of the football game.
Yeah, and that two-point conversion that Highland Park missed on the kickoff, that ended up being pivotal in the game early because then Emporia High just kind of took over, and Coach Keaton Tuttle mentioned to me in pregame Emporia High's got to run the ball, and they were successful with that, with Bobby Trujillo going for 9 touchdowns and nearly 300 yards rushing. I knew what this team was capable of just seeing what they did in three quarters against Junction City. But this offense was explosive last night, and hopefully they can continue to build off of this and go into next Friday night and see what they can do against Blue Valley Southwest.
With that, we bring in Emporia High football coach Keaton Tuttle. Good morning, Coach. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Now, were you planning on using the full court press and fast breaking, using the fast break game last night?
You know, we originally weren't thinking about it, but whatever gets us there, that's what we're going to go with.
Well, looking at this game, this is a game you knew you felt like your team matched up well with Highland Park. They do have some very good weapons on that football team, but the history with Emporia High and Highland Park, Emporia High has won that, and I'm sure there was a confidence level from your kids knowing, hey, we've played with Highland Park over the last 4 or 5 years. There's no reason why we couldn't play with them on this particular Friday night, and that opening drive really kind of set the tone for your offense. It didn't take you long to put it into the end zone.
Yeah, you're exactly right with that. Like we said earlier, you know, had to make sure we could run the ball, and we wanted to establish that early. Got into a situation where we wanted to throw one, and I think Fred made a good throw because they did try to jump it. It was close, but, you know, Sheldon made a great catch and took it all the way in. We wanted to eat a little bit more clock, as you guys all know. I mean, they were explosive too, but it's hard to turn away a score at any time, that's for sure.
The only part that may have been a little bit of a question, I understand you've got Richardson back there who has the ability to return a kick for a touchdown at any time and break one for a touchdown, and I can understand trying to kick away from him, but they decided, instead of taking the ball at the 35, to make you kick it a couple times after it went out of bounds, and unfortunately it was Richardson who ended up returning it for a touchdown. And getting the stop on the two-point conversion, though, had to be a big still confidence boost for your ball club.
Yeah, it was. is there things that we need to clean up, you know, defensively and offensively too? Yeah, there is. We know that. But, you know, it seemed like when we needed to play from our defense, we got it. You know, I mean, we let them get a little closer than we put it at times. But, you know, a couple stops and a few points is huge. You know, we were talking at halftime, Coach Sauer and myself, those two-point conversions can be huge. I mean, you get three scores, you get a two-point every time. It's a whole other score right there. So it was important that, you know, we got stops on that as well and, you know, make sure we converted ours. You know, we did this one. I think Alex was perfect on the night on extra point kicks, though. So, it's nice to have, you know, that ability to get that stop and to get those points.
Coach, got to talk about Bobby Trujillo. You know, big two-way player for you guys. Goes for nearly 300 yards and 9 touchdowns. And of course, he was explosive and bringing some pressure. Had a big hit at the end of the first half. With the season on the line, Bobby Trujillo came to play last night, didn't he?
Yeah, he definitely did. You know, I called on Bobby. I remember, you know, I talked to him just one-on-one before the game. I said, hey, you've got a great opportunity here, you know, to showcase what kind of a, you know, player and person you are and take over this game. And he did that. I mean, we got to give a lot of credit to our offensive line as well. I mean, I got to give them a carrot being one myself. But, you know, anytime you're able to have one guy go over 300 yards, I think we had quite a few more with some other guys. You know, yeah, that's all night. I think, you know, Braden Krieger ran the ball well as well. And, he, you know, he's only practiced that spot for a week. So he had been playing outside. We put him at tailback, brought him in a little bit. And I think he's got some natural ability there, which is nice to see. You know, we did fumble the ball a couple times. Actually, I think it was 3 and got 1 back, which we have to clean up because we can't have the mistakes. I mean, that will catch up with us sooner than later. And, you know, if we don't fumble those two, we probably score a couple more times or, it, you know, don't have to score as many. But we got to make sure we get that cleaned up and make sure we can run the ball again going into next week. But, you know, to round out your question, Bobby's a great player, and he's a special one, and we're lucky to have him. You know, he's a leader for this team and for these guys, and, you know, they look to him no matter what. You know, you can tell a definite difference when he's around and when he's not. And hopefully we got him around for as many more as we've got this year.
Has anybody done the research? Is that a record for most touchdowns scored in a single game for Emporia High?
It was close. I think the record, as I was told after the game, is 13. And that was way back in, you know, like 1927 or something like that. So I don't know if it was a record. We'll check. But I think he was knocking on the door.
Well, Coach, you mentioned Braden Krieger, and he did not play last week against Junction City. And, of course, you put him in a whole new position and put him as basically the number two running back behind Bobby Trujillo. But what was it like for Braden? Because when he came in and his first run, he had an 8-yard, and then he was able to break through for 16 on the next one. But just how does he have that speed that you can depend on with a second running back?
You know, anytime we've got another kid we can plug in like that and he kind of naturally takes it over, I mean, it's huge. So give him another week, you know, of reps, and we're going to have, you know, something special there for sure. Especially with a couple guys out, it's nice to have somebody say, hey, you know, can I get a chance? And we put them in there, and they really thrive. So it's great to see that. You know, like I told him, you know, we had a couple exchange problems. He got one popped out. You know, I think if that one doesn't get poked out, he's probably walking into the end zone. Then I told him, I said, hey, that comes with time. We got to make sure we get it cleaned up because, just like I said, you know, those mistakes will catch up with us at a very pivotal time. We were fortunate last night to be able to respond well, which they did. You know, Braden did, Fred did at, you know, once. We just got to make sure we clean that up because I know our opponent will be watching film, and if they can get a chance to get that ball out, they're going to.
I want to bring up a critical play in the second quarter. It's a one-possession game, and Highland Park's pinned back at their own 6-yard line. They went with a little bubble screen, and Jalen King read it perfectly and just walked into the end zone. And how did you feel like that play kind of changed the momentum of that football game, because after that, you guys were up two possessions or more the rest of that football game.
Yeah, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to our defensive staff. You know, Coach Wells, Coach Strayer, Coach Sheets, you know, they were devising, you know, scheming that basically all week and told Jalen, you know, this is what's going to happen. Be ready for it. And, you know, he did exactly what he was supposed to do, made a great play. You know, he's a heck of a football player and a great kid. You know, he's incredibly coachable, works hard, and, you know, he's there for it all the time. So it was nice to see, you know, a kid take charge and do what he was taught and read exactly what he was supposed to do, and it worked out. You know, we're very fortunate to have him as part of our team this year, for sure.
When you're looking at your team now, as you get ready for Blue Valley Southwest, you established the run against Highland Park, and you've shown that you can throw the ball like you did against Junction City. How excited are you to see both of those kind of mesh together and put together a complete game offensively, what you'll need against Blue Valley Southwest?
Yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, we've been striving for all year. And like you said, we threw the ball well against Junction, ran the ball last night. I think, you know, we get a chance to put both of those together, and it could be another special game, you know. I think, you know, we only ended up throwing the ball, I think, three times last night, and I think we were 3 for 3. But, you know, we're going to have to be more balanced this coming week. I know we will. And that's not to say we're not going to go with what's, you know, if we're running the ball well, trust me, we're going to stay with the ball. But we know that we're going to need to be a little bit more balanced. But by doing that, I think it will cause, you know, a defense to kind of stay home a little bit, respect some of our guys, and what they do, kind of, you know, they'll have to read their own keys and not be able to sell out on one portion. But, you know, we get a full, you know, be able to throw the ball, run the ball, bounce attack. I mean, I think we can control the ball and control the clock a little bit. And, you know, it should be pretty exciting going forward.
And, Coach, I know Steve Souther just texted me. Can you mention some of the offensive line for us who really did a good job blocking last night?
Yeah, you know, those guys got a couple seniors up there. Jaden Thomas, Nate Thomas. They've been doing a great job. Colin Stutzman at guard for us. Kobe Lee, we had to throw in at tackle this week, and I think he did a great job. You know, and then Robert Wesley. He's only a sophomore. But he's doing a heck of a job for us. And last night it was kind of fun. You know, they came over, you know, and I told them, I said, fellas, if you want to take over a game, if you want to close a game out, it's down on the offensive line. And I said, you can control things all on your own. And, you know, I think they did a pretty good job of that last night. We called about three different run plays, and that was it. We called a zone play, a counter play, and I think a veer maybe once. Yeah, and a sweep. So we called four. And anytime you're able to do that, and they can get after those guys the way they did, it's a special thing to see. They've been working hard. I mean, that's a group that I'm with and working with every day. And I know there's days where they're tired of seeing me and they're tired of hearing me, but at the end, they stick with it and then they don't quit. You know, like I said last night, it would be easy to do, especially, you know, a few weeks ago, we were at -1 rushing yards, you know, and they very easily could have been like, well, we're not getting it done. We're going to mail it in. And they didn't do that. You know, and I think we're probably well over 300 yards rushing last night, maybe closer to four. Anytime you're able to do that, they're doing something right up front. It's nice to see them play a complete game, but they're going to have to bring it again next week.
So what do you know about Blue Valley Southwest?
You know, we just actually got the film this morning, so we're going to jump into it here pretty soon. You know, they're going to have some very good athletes. They always do. And very similar to us, they play in a very, very good league. You know, they've got some very, very good teams up there that have, you know, won state titles, you know, deep playoff runs, rich tradition. So we know that they've got a very good team. You know, like I said, I kind of see it as similar to us. But like I told our guys last night, they're a good team, but so are we. And, you know, it's nice to see our guys finally get to that point and understand that and have that confidence. So I know we're excited. You know, it's any time you get a chance to play another game, a 10th game of the season, you know, that's huge. So we're hoping we can push it back just a little bit further and, you know, get after them this Friday and see what happens.
this is a football team that has seen its share of adversity this season, and for them to get the win last night, and to me it feels like they're playing with a lot of confidence. Even though you lost the game to Junction City last week, I thought your team was showing that it could play with a lot of confidence, gained a lot of confidence from that, and then last night getting that win. These guys ought to be coming to practice on Monday, ready to get to work and seeing how far they can go.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. They've seen a lot of adversity. They've seen some very high highs and some very low lows. So it's nice to see that confidence. They've earned it. They deserve it. So I know I'm excited. Our coaches are excited for them. And, we're going to get after it this week. And I know they're going to be flying around. It's another great opportunity. And, we're really looking forward to it.
Well, Coach, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us this morning. Again, congratulations on the victory over Highland Park. Have a great week of practice, and good luck on Friday night against Blue Valley Southwest.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate it. I got to get one real quick jab in. Go Tigers.
Oh.
For those who may not be aware, Coach Tuttle is a Fort Hays State graduate. He played at Fort Hays State, so we'll let him have his say, and we'll hope you're commiserating after the end of the game.
No, all in good fun. I know TSU's had a phenomenal year. They're keeping it rolling, but got to stick by black and gold.
Well, as long as it's black and gold.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Coach, and good luck on Friday night against Blue Valley Southwest.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Emporia High football coach Keaton Tuttle joining us here this morning again. The Spartans victorious over Highland Park last night. And for those who haven't heard the score, a lot of points were scored, 83-64. And a huge game for Bobby Trujillo, almost 300 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns scored, all of them rushing. And the old adage of if they can't stop you, why stop running the ball? And Highland Park just couldn't stop Emporia High, couldn't stop Bobby Trujillo as he ran the ball hard. And I'm sure he felt like he had something to prove. He missed some games because of an injury earlier this year. And that might be part of it, too. Bobby Trujillo's, relatively fresh. Fred Jackson's going to be relatively fresh. So there are some guys, some key guys that are still relatively fresh, and they may be thinking, I didn't get to play all the games that I wanted to play this year. Here's their chance to get some of those games in, and hopefully they can continue their track.
And Cooper Reck was back last night as well. He was out against Junction City. They're getting guys back, and it's good to see. And this team is at its potential, but what if they didn't have these injuries? This could be a completely different team, maybe with another win or two under its belt. But, you got to battle adversity at times, and this Emporia High team has definitely done that this year.
Now, if Emporia High wins their game with Blue Valley Southwest, the winner of that game will play either DeSoto or Spring Hill. DeSoto 8-1, Spring Hill 5-4. Spring Hill defeated Leavenworth 26-21, and DeSoto defeated Kansas City Turner 49-0 was the final score in that one. So Emporia High would play either, if they were to win, would play either DeSoto or Spring Hill, and that would be in the sectional round or quarterfinal round of the state playoffs on November the 11th.
Well, the Centennial League as a whole had a really good first round. They went 5-1. T High, the only team that lost, and unfortunately they got to see Derby in the first round. But Manhattan with a dominant performance. Junction City wins. Washburn Roll, I think, shuts out Dodge City. Of course, you got the Emporia High win, and Hayden took it to Baldwin pretty good last night. So, a good first round for the Centennial League.
Yes, it was. And a good first round for area teams as well, as 8 area teams won in the first round. Thursday night, of course, a couple games we had on our airways. Olpe won their first round game over Uniontown. And for those who may be wondering, Olpe will then host Pleasanton next Friday. Pleasanton defeated Erie 40-12, so a rematch with Pleasanton coming up for the Olpe Eagles. Both teams are 7-2, so that should be a pretty solid football game. also advancing to the second round in especially in eight-man football, Division One. Linden, they'll play Mound Ridge. Burlingame will play Wichita Independent. Madison will play at Little River. And Chase County will play at South Sumner. Interesting, all four teams that were in, or that made it out of eight-man Division One District Two won their first-round playoff games.
Pretty good district, I'd say.
Yeah. It's a solid district there. So they all advance. And in Division One, Lebo, they were the number one seed out of their district. They'll play Frankfort after their victory over Rural Vista as they look to make a run at the eight-man Division II state championship. Six-man football, Waverly had a bye. They'll get to play Pawnee Heights in there for in the regional round on Friday night. Pawnee Heights defeating Altoona Midway last night, and it was a close one, 49-46, I believe was the final score in that one. So Waverly advancing will face Pawnee Heights in the second round of six-man football, and also Osage City in Class 2A also advancing to the second round of the playoffs. Council Grove also advancing to the second round of the playoffs in Class 2A. So area schools did quite well in the first round of the playoffs. And as of right now, all second-round games are scheduled for Friday night. And we will have on Country 101.7 FM, we will have Chase County at Southern Sumner, which will be played at Caldwell. And on Mix 104.9, we'll have Olpie hosting Pleasanton. And on KVOE, 1400 AM, we'll have Emporia High playing at Blue Valley Southwest.
A full evening of high school football.
Next Friday night will be a loaded schedule. So congratulations to all the teams that picked up victories in the first round of the playoffs, and good luck in the second round. We'll take our first break, and we'll be back with more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongPineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at EmporiaMainStreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. As we approach the first week in November, it's officially time for wrestling season. The Penn State Nittany Lions are once again the defending Division I men's champions. Head coach Cale Sanderson and his squad have won 9 of the last 11 team national titles and are stacked again this year. Penn State returned stars Carter Storace, Aaron Brooks, and Max Dean from last year's team. However, this year won't come without challenges for the Nittany Lions dynasty, as multiple teams in their conference could be poised for a takedown. Fellow Big Ten members Iowa, Ohio State, and Michigan are all expected to contend. And keep a special eye on Iowa. They return three-time individual national champion Spencer Lee this season. He missed most of last year after having knee surgery. Coming up, we'll hear about changes that could be coming to the world of college football recruiting on This Week in the NCAA.
What's your least favorite season? Now, if you're like me, it's cold and flu season. So get relief from it this year with Mucinex DM. With cough and chest congestion relief for 12 hours in just one dose, that's three times longer than four-hour products. Mucinex DM makes any season comeback season, even cold and flu season. Get three times the relief in just one dose with Mucinex DM. It couldn't be simpler. Nothing lasts longer among over-the-counter cough and cold remedies. Mucinex DM provides 12 hours of relief for chest congestion and cough, day or night. Use as directed. What's your least favorite season? Now, if you're like me, it's cold and flu season. So get relief from it this year with Mucinex DM. With cough and chest congestion relief for 12 hours in just one dose, that's three times longer than four-hour products. Mucinex DM makes any season comeback season, even cold and flu season. Get three times the relief in just one dose with Mucinex DM. It couldn't be simpler. Nothing lasts longer among over-the-counter cough and cold remedies. Mucinex DM provides 12 hours of relief for chest congestion and cough, day or night. Use as directed.
I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongpineAuto.com. And, you know, high school football in the playoffs. Also, this is state tournament week for volleyball. Championships being played will be decided today at the 1A Division II state tournament being played at White Auditorium. Teams are warming up as we speak for the semifinals. Lebo will be playing in one of the semifinals. They will be going up against Attica. And then the other semifinal will have Hanover playing Beloit St. John Tipton, as Lebo picked up three wins yesterday, defeating Ingalls, Hutchinson Central Christian, and Beloit St. John Tipton all in two sets each. The two winners will meet for the championship. And I believe Hanover is a defending 1A Division II state champion, so Lebo could be facing the defending champion. I think those two played each other in the championship a year ago.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. And it's going to be a good day of volleyball, and I'm going to go check out Lebo here just after a little bit and see if they can win the program's first state championship. They've been second on multiple occasions, but they're looking to get that state title.
So go Lebo Wolves, go Wolves. And out at Dodge City at the 1A Division I state tournament, Olpe, unfortunately, losing their three pool play matches, losing to Flint Hills, Little River, and Spearville, all in two sets each. But congratulations to the Olpe volleyball team making it to state. Also today, state cross-country races will be held. Emporia High girls and Dagan True on the boys' side will be running at the 5A race. That will be held at Rimrock at Lawrence. Team-wise, Hartford boys, Lebo girls, Northern Heights boys, and Osage City girls also competing today for team titles as well as individual titles. And then a couple of individuals from Olpe, Caleb Arnold, Lillian Skolsky. From Lebo, Caleb Durst. From Madison, Lily Hudson. From Northern Heights on the girls' side, Laura Cathcart and Tegan Hines. From Chase County, Silas Hernandez and Cooper Schroer. From Linden, Braden Marcotte and Seth Zander. And from Council Grove, Lakota Downs and Jordan Picolet will be running for state championships. I think 5, 6A, and 3A are at Rimrock. 4, 2, and 1A are at Wamego for their state races today, so good luck to them. And with that, we need to select our Main Street Athletes of the Week, and I think we'd be hard-pressed for Emporia High not to go to the gridiron to find this week's Athlete of the Week. What a performance by Bobby Trujillo.
Yeah, definitely. 9 touchdowns on the night. Defensively, he was there. He was bringing the house, bringing the pressure. The Bobby Trujillo that everyone loves to see play some really good football, a great three-sport athlete, wrestler, baseball player. But with the season on the line, Bobby Trujillo delivered, and he is this week's Emporia High Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And then for our Area Athlete of the Week, we're going to go down to Olpe High School for our athlete, and Lillian Skolsky. We mentioned her running at the state cross-country race today. She's also a member of the volleyball team that played at state yesterday, just a freshman. So Lillian Skolsky of Olpe is our complete, or I should say our Main Street. I slipped up. But
old habits are hard to break, right?
Main Street Area Athlete of the Week. So congratulations to Lillian. Competing at state at two events the same weekend, playing with her volleyball team. Now, if they would have won, she probably wouldn't have made the trip to Wamego to run cross country. Unfortunately, the volleyball team did not advance to today's place, so she'll get to run at the state cross country race today at Wamego, and wish her well, as well as all those that are running at the state cross country races. Again, for Emporia High, Bobby Trujillo is our Main Street Athlete of the Week, and Lillian Skolsky of Olpe is our Area Athlete of the Week. Going on today, besides cross country and volleyball, there's college football taking place. Emporia State at home this afternoon, taking on Fort Hays State. It's homecoming for the Hornets, who have won four in a row. They are 6-2 on the season. Going into the game, they are third in the conference in scoring. They're averaging over 32 points a game. Defensively, they're only giving up 3 touchdowns per game, 21, and that's fourth best in the MIAA. They lead the MIAA, averaging 448 yards per game. Defensively, they're only giving up 334 yards. That's the third best in the MIAA. They're fifth in the conference rushing, number 2 in passing offense, but number 5 in rush defense, number 3 in pass defense. This is a football team that is playing well right now. They struggled a little bit in the first half against Missouri Southern. Missouri Southern had a great game plan. Keep the ball out of the offense's hand. They had a 12-minute drive in the first half. I think what kind of took a lot of the – last Saturday it was windy, so this is a pun intended – took the wind out of their sails a little bit. Shortly after they scored, Emporia State took less than 2 minutes to get on the scoreboard to get the momentum back on their side, and they were able to take advantage of the win in the fourth quarter and ended up with a 24-21 victory. But you look at this series, the last couple of years between Emporia State and Fort Hays State, it's been normally the home team that wins it, but last year Emporia State scored 15 points in the final 4 minutes of play to get a 15-12 victory over the Fort Hays State Tigers. I'm sure they've used that as motivation. Fort Hays has used that for motivation. Let's spoil Emporia State's homecoming this afternoon, see if we can't do something there. But Emporia State offensively really starting to operate efficiently. And when you talk to the opposing coaches, and the thing that they say is the thing that stands out to them is the way Emporia State's defense is playing. You know the defense is playing well.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you can get play on both sides of the ball. That's going to lead to some success, and we've seen that with Emporia State the last 4 weeks. And with every win, each week becomes more important, you know, because this is a team that if they can hold serve the rest of the way and get to that last game of the season against obviously a very good Northwest Missouri team, there's a lot on the line there. You know, you're staring down the opportunity of getting into playoffs, and that's what they're playing for now.
Yes, then this is one of those games that – if you're Emporia State, you can say we're in the playoffs right now.
Yep.
Because if you want to keep advancing, you have to keep winning. After today, they'll go to Lincoln next week, and you would think on paper that would be should be an easy win for Emporia State. But then they'll close out the regular season at home against Northwest Missouri State. And the last time Emporia State beat Northwest Missouri State was back when my kids were born.
Well, of course,
it's been a while.
You got to get past today, and Fort Hays would like nothing more than to upset the apple cart. And Fort Hays, of course, they've been victimized by some injuries, has really derailed their season, too. So
yeah,
this is better than a one-win team or two-win team?
They have 2 wins. Okay. They did win last week. They're coming off a victory last week over Central Missouri. They won 27-14, and as Coach Garen Higgins mentioned all week long, regardless of what your record is, you're coming off a win. You're feeling a lot better about yourself. You have more of a step in your bounce in your step. Their other victory this season was over Lincoln. But as you mentioned, their starting quarterback has only played 2 games. Talking with Coach Chris Brown earlier in the week, he didn't feel like that quarterback would be available to play today, probably come back next week, because they still have Northeastern State and Pittsburgh State to play, so they have a couple of games that maybe they can build a little momentum, starting to play some younger players that are gaining some valuable playing experience. And They took a step forward with that win over Central Missouri. And Coach Garrett Higgins all week long also said the one thing he knows, they're going to get their best shot from Fort Hays State. They're going to come in here. They're going to give Emporia State all that they want and then some. And so Emporia State's going to have their chin strap snapped, their shoes laced tight, and get ready for what could be a very physical football game. And hopefully when it's all said and done, the Hornets are happy this afternoon.
And with their fifth straight win, and just keep the momentum going.
Just keep the momentum going. Also this afternoon, Kansas State hosting Oklahoma State, a matchup of two top 25 teams, Kansas State 22nd, Oklahoma State number 9. That game will kick off at 2:30. And saw a report this morning, Adrian Martinez is a game-time decision for the Wildcats.
It's a huge game for them. Yeah. Matter of fact, I saw from one K-State fan, I know the biggest game in a decade for K-State football. So we'll see how that plays out. But, no, I mean, you know, they're certainly in a position where if they beat Oklahoma State today, they put themselves in a spot where they could be in a Big 12 championship game. You know, right now TCU leads the pack. But it is a very big game for Kansas State. They have them at home. I think they're like a 1.5-point favorite. If Martinez plays, that even elevates their chances probably more. So big game in Manhattan later on this afternoon.
That game has a kickoff at 2:30 this afternoon. That game you can hear on Country 101.7 FM with coverage starting at 12:30. And speaking of college football, tonight here on KVOE, we have a little special treat for everyone, a little SEC special. We'll have Ole Miss and Texas A&M. Texas A&M not having the best of seasons. They've had some struggles, but Ole Miss having a good season in their own right. So an NCC game, coverage will start at 6 o'clock this evening here on KVOE. We'll take our next break, and we'll be back with more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Home inventory in the Emporia area continues to be tight. A mortgage pre-approval from Emporia State Federal Credit Union can give you a leg up with sellers, proving you're a serious buyer with the means to purchase a home. With a short phone call or easy online application, you can be pre-approved. Lock in a fixed rate for up to 60 days and begin shopping for the home of your dreams. Tell your realtor you'll be using Emporia State Federal Credit Union to finance your new home. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, and Dylan Sherwood. Not sure if we'll hear from Mitch Holtis this Saturday morning. It's a bye week for the Chiefs.
Maybe Mitch is taking a little bye week. We'll find out here, I guess.
He needs a little R&R. Chiefs will be back in action November the 6th, taking on Tennessee. That'll be a Sunday night game. Of course, the Chiefs coming off a very impressive win over the San Francisco 49ers last Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, what a great way to go into the bye week. Played extremely well. I know they gave up those 10 quick points early and got down 10-0, but hey, Chiefs seem to like to play from behind, and they came back and a very dominant performance, particularly on offense. I mean, man, they'd had everything rolling, and And what a great game. I thought they played some of their best offense all season once they got untracked. And a lot of confidence now going to the bye week, and hopefully they can get rested up, get some guys feeling better, and get ready for Tennessee then.
And they add a receiver to the mix after making a trade with the New York Giants as they get one of their former number one picks who's been battling injuries. Was it Kendrick?
Kadarius Toney, a kid out of Florida. If you've watched him at all, when he's been healthy and playing, man, the kid can be electric. I mean, he's fast. He's agile. He's going to add a really interesting dimension to that offense when he is finally put into the mix of things. So just another weapon for the Chiefs is what they needed, and a really good wide receiver.
Well, everybody was wondering, how do you replace Tyreek Hill? Well, you don't necessarily replace him. You get some pieces that can do some of the similar things that he did.
Well, it just looks a little bit different, but they're pretty efficient. I mean, those wide receivers now, and Patrick Mahomes, I think they're getting their timing down. They're more comfortable with one another. We saw it last week, two receivers over 100 yards. You know, Travis Kelce was almost there. They almost had three guys with 100. So I think that offense is rounding into shape, the way it looks to me anyway.
And starting to run the ball a little more efficiently, and that's always a big plus. Besides the Chiefs, some stuff coming up here this week. Tomorrow, the Emporia State soccer team will be at home. They'll take on Northeastern State, opening round of MIAA tournament play. They finished the regular season last week with victories at home, defeating Nebraska Kearney and Washburn to earn the number two seed. They'll play Northeastern State tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock. On the ESU pitch.
Interesting record they finished with, isn't it, for the regular season? They had like four ties or something
five
like that?
Five ties.
Wow. Yeah.
There you go. They had a bunch of ties. There was a stretch they were talking with Coach Seiler. He goes, hey, we're undefeated in the conference, but we haven't won a game.
Yeah.
I think the first four matches were ties.
There's got to be some way. They had to come up with some system to break ties.
Well, this is the first year that they didn't go to overtime. So that's the reason why you're seeing more ties this year than what you've seen in the past. In the past, they would have an overtime segment, and they would have a chance to break that tie, but there was no overtime to break the tie. So that's why we saw more ties. They didn't have the overtimes, and Emporia State would have a chance to win those games. And also, before I bring in Mitch Holtis, Emporia State women's basketball team will open up their season Thursday. They'll travel down to Norman, Oklahoma to take on the Oklahoma Sooners. That'll be a 6 o'clock tip on Thursday night, and we'll have that game for you on Mix 104.9. And with that, we say good morning to Mitch Holtis. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Good morning, Mitch Holtis.
Well, Dylan's there. So, Dylan, good job with what you had, but Willie Gay Jr. is back in the line of breathing the Emporia State Federal Credit Union at. That was Willie Gay Jr. getting a missile stack against San Francisco. I've got to tell you, dude, that was tough. That was good work. But you also want to be me today, Dre.
What's that?
You want to be me today. What do you think I am at right now?
No. I have no idea.
At home?
You have us all stumped, Mitch.
I'm in Hayes, Kansas.
Oh.
And I know today it's Emporia State and Fort Hayes State in Emporia, but I spoke last night. They did a special evening to honor the firefighters of Western Kansas for the horrific fire of the wildfires last December, which were brutal. And so it was bye week Friday, and so I drove out and they're headed back. We're actually going, Tim, we're going to K-State today, so it'll be K-State, the Kansas Aggies against the Oklahoma Aggies. But I just had to tell Greg that, and Greg, I have in my hand a thumb drive full of Fort Hayes State's plays for your game today.
Nice.
Wow. That's impressive.
So I'd say for a price, but I'm going to hold home firm on it. So.
You can forward those to Coach Garen Higgins.
We'd do that to Coach Brown or the Packers. They've had a rough year. They've had so many injuries. But big game today. Love MIAA football. And just got off the air, actually, with Gerard Welbrock, the voice of the Tigers, So I know you guys got a big one today with them.
Yeah, it's Emporia State's playing well, won four in a row. You know, the win for the Chiefs over San Francisco reminded me a lot of the Emporia State win over Nebraska Kearney at Kearney. You go on the road playing a very good football team, and you answer the challenge, and the Chiefs did exactly that last Sunday. Went into San Francisco taking on the best defense in the NFL and just took it to the woodshed.
Yeah, and I know how good Kearney is this year, and that is a heck of a win. Even though I still haven't forgiven you for not going the back road route through the center, that's a whole other matter. If Tim would have done it, he would have done that route. That's just the difference between you two guys. But honestly, yeah, it was a terrific win for ESU and a great win for Kansas City. We walked into a cauldron. That thing was an absolute bubbling pot of oil because they were so anxious, the 49ers, to avenge Super Bowl 54. Their crowd was all into it. They're showing videos. And of they had 12 guys on their injured list a week ago when I talked to you guys on the show, and all but one of them played, Eric Armstead, because they were just all in to win that game, and for the Chiefs to run away from them in the fourth quarter was like your win at Kearney. It's a statement win. It's more than just a single victory. It sends a message to up and down the pike.
Well, and Mitch, good grief, the Chiefs' offense, they set records at Levi Stadium. I mean, 44 points the Niners gave up, 529 yards of offense. I mean, man, what a great day for the Chiefs.
Against a great, I'd say a really good defense. I think Buffalo's got the great defense. But we played two really good defenses in Tampa Bay and San Francisco. But the other thing, Tim, was to get explosive plays in all three phases. I mean, you had a defense that gets a safety. You get three takeaways. We've had 5 and 6 weeks. They get 3 in 1 game. And then to have the kickoff returned by Isaiah Pacheco, which was very strategic and explosive, that's what was exciting. Left there with a statement victory in all three phases, were able to put their stamp on it.
And what a huge play for Joshua Williams there at the end of the first half. Of course, it was just a terrible throw by Garoppolo, but, man, what a big play for a young guy.
Well, and to come back from what he had against Buffalo. I mean, we all were saying, gosh, he was thrown into the fire and has to defend two fades with zero coverage against Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. And you're thinking, you know, I've seen that Fry guys that never really ever recover from that instance. Well, he thrives. I mean, that's the way these rookie corners are. Jalen Watson the same. You notice they're not throwing at Jalen Watson much. Now, they got the touchdown on him with Kittle, and that was kind of a weird coverage by the Chiefs. Where Jalen Watson had to be one-on-one with Kittle with no middle help in the red zone. But still, for Joshua Williams to come roaring back and make that play was, again, something that goes beyond that single play, Tim. It helps his confidence the rest of this year and beyond.
Well, and you know, we knew it would take a little bit of time for Patrick Mahomes and these wide receivers to get comfortable with one another, but, boy, it looks like that's certainly the case now. We've seen Smith-Schuster back-to-back 100-yard games. Valdez-Scantling goes over 100 in that contest. Of course, you have Kelsey, the steady presence. But, well, this offense is really starting to round into shape now.
The Tim, complementary parts. That's what's exciting, and it was put on display against San Francisco, meaning we know what Kelsey can do. He's the best that's ever done it. And Hardman explodes. He's 4.25 speed. Our fans get on him because he's not an 800-yard receiving guy. But he's such an asset, and especially doing what he did in that game. Then you have Juju Smith-Schuster, who's the yak monster, who can catch a pass at 10 and turn it into a 50-yard touchdown because he's so powerful. And then we saw Marquez Valdes-Scantling do what he did in 2019, and that was get behind it. That was a huge play. It was a third and long. That place is all fired up again at, 21-16. And you zoom it down there at 57 yards, and you just take the oxygen out of it. Either it was 20-23 or 21-16. And that just took everything out of that crowd and that team. But it was all different plays, attacking vertically and horizontally. They're so good right now in the red zone. They're on fire there. And you're just getting complementary pieces from this group on the offense. And then the three running backs, you know, fail into this equation. They also did a great job of blocking in space. The football vernacular, right, of blocking in a 3 to 5 yard area against superb athletes, which is usually holding or block in the back. The screen for 34 yards on 3rd and 20 was a thing of beauty. So it all came together. There's complementary pieces, and Tim, still a ton of upside. This thing's just getting started for the Chiefs.
You mentioned third down, and I think they were like 6 of 9 on third down conversions. Yeah. But, man, the yardage they got on third down was just incredible.
Yeah, and did it different ways. It wasn't just all running wasp plays and running third-level routes. It was a variety of ways, and that's why I think that it was so encouraging to see it. One, the protection was there. We're not talked yet about the protection. And they used Bosa's speed against him, going right inside his armpit several times. But the offensive line came to play. Second-best game. Their best one was against Tampa Bay, but this was their second-best as the O-line healthy and came together.
Well, and certainly kudos to the defense after giving up 10 early points. They only gave up 13 the rest of the way. And I think they had, what, 5 sacks, forced 3 turnovers, got a safety, some big plays defensively as well.
And did it different ways again. Chris Jones is right now the highest rated, get this, the highest rated inside defensive lineman in the National Football League ahead of Aaron Donald. And he is doing things other than just getting sacks or pressures. He's actually affecting the run game more than he ever has in his career. Then you get the Willie Gay Jr. missile blitz. Then you get the pressures from Clark. Frank gets the safety on the sack. Karlaftis gets involved. There's a half sack. Malik Herring recovers the fumble. So it was different guys doing different things. Thornhill gets a pick in the end zone. So everybody got on that plane, 5-2 at the bye, feeling like they had a big hand in that victory.
You know, we talk about the Chiefs being so dominant against the AFC West, which they are, but, man, the NFC hates to see KC coming, too.
22-6. I'm telling you, in this, since the Chiefs have won these consecutive division titles, the biggest factor that no one talks about, and I mention it nationally, is the fact that the Chiefs have dominated the NFC. The rest of the division has not. I can have a 3-3 division record and still win the division if I go 5-0 in my crossover NFC games. And that's basically what the Chiefs have done since the beginning of 2016. They have won 22 of 28 NFC games. And they have more NFC wins than some NFC teams coming into this season. But it's a big deal because it puts you, just where the Chiefs are now ahead in the division. And look what they've already done against the NFC. Well, Seattle blows out the Chargers. I mean, that's what's happened here now for 6.5 years, is the rest of the AFC West will kind of muddle around or get smoked by the NFC while the Chiefs are beating all these teams on the NFC. And it's not part of tiebreakers are down the list, but if I gain a game or two advantage over you, and I could, just because I'm winning my NFC games, I'll win the division.
What did you think of the pickup of Kadarius Toney?
Still waiting on that one. I'm trying to kind of figure that one out and also absorb it. Now, I kind of knew it was coming a little bit. I think there's more of a long play here, Tim, than a short play of what Kadarius could do with the upside in his career. Now, he'll help this year. I mean, Andy will figure out a way to use him when he gets healthy. He's got an injured hamstring. But I think, too, in the next 2 to 4 years, Toney could have an effect as a returner. He could have an effect in being a Mecole Hardman 2.0. He's got laser speed and another piece. So it's kind of a continued arms race between us and the Bills, because I think the Bills are trying to think about getting Odell Beckham Jr. But, I mean, this thing is on. But I think Toney will help. I'm just kind of waiting and seeing, trying to figure out what happened in New York and if Kadarius can get healthy. He's a talent, man.
Well, Mitch, you get to have Sunday off. Chiefs don't play.
Yeah.
As it were.
No. Yuck, yeah.
Yeah, but for the Chiefs, does this come at about the right time? Give everybody a chance to take not only a physical break, but a mental break?
Yeah, I don't have the next-gen stats in front of me. People have actually done the research of, like, what's the best week to have a bye. I think it's great right now, and here's why, Greg. What we've had to face to this point, the only team in NFL history to have faced your first 7 games against teams that had winning records the year prior, 5 of the 7 went to the playoffs last year, and then to play 4 of those 7 on the road, to play those road games at, West Coast and the East Coast, flip-flopping back and forth across the country. Oh, and having five different start times in your first five games of the year. I mention that every Saturday with you guys. It's more difficult than people think. It's like, you know, working shift work at the hospital, or and you're working 7 to 3 one day and 3 to 11 the next, and 2 12-hour shifts on Thursday and Friday. It's been a lot, and this team has traversed this path to this point and done it very well. I just am excited about the next 10 weeks. Last year at this time, Greg, the Chiefs were 3-4, -10 in the giveaway takeaway ratio. Mahomes had thrown 9 interceptions. And now, all of a sudden, they're number one in the NFL in completions of 20 yards or more. They're number one in the NFL in offensive efficiency, number one in the NFL in red zone takeaways. I can just go on and on here, but there's just more upside to this team. Not sure they'll go 9-1 like they did last year in the next 10, but they could. And that's what's exciting. There's room to improve.
Mitch, before we let you go, give me the breakdown of the Cats Cowboys. You'll be in Manhattan today.
Man, the whole quarterback thing for K-State is just troublesome. What do they have? Is Howard beat up? Yeah, it looks like it. Is Martinez beat up? Yeah, it looks like it. Oklahoma State is just fraught with NFL athletes. You look down their roster, there is at least, I bet, at least 5, probably 7 guys. They're just so athletic. It's going to be a heck of a game. It's a bit of a statement game for K-State if they can win it. They kind of need to win it to keep in this thought of, hey, they've got a shot to challenge for the Big 12 title. So there's a lot on the line today, but, man, Oklahoma State is uber talented.
Well, enjoy your time in Manhattan today, Mitch.
I shall, and I'm going to enjoy that bye Sunday. I'm telling you, I'm going to have a bye nap.
Well, enjoy your time, and we'll look forward to visiting with you next Saturday.
All right, good luck today. Say hi to Gerard. I just said hi to you from him. So, I'm covering both sides.
All right, thanks, Mitch.
See you guys.
That's Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. So that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. Again, here on KVOE tonight, 6 o'clock, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Over on Country 101.7 FM, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. That's a 12:30 pregame, 2:30 kickoff. And on Mix 104.9, Emporia State hosting Fort Hays State. That's a 2 o'clock kick, 1 o'clock pregame. Again, congratulations to Emporia High's Bobby Trujillo and Lillian Skolsky of Volpe. They are our Main Street Athletes of the Week. For Tim Miller and Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. We'll see you next Saturday with our next edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongPineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and